Jonah and the Second Chance by Elder Juan Uceda, Area Authority 70. The prophet Jonah was displeased when the people of Nineveh repented. Are we ever guilty of not giving people a second chance at repenting? It is comforting to know that we worship a God who is merciful and who allows His children many chances to learn His ways and be obedient to them. Who among us would be saved without a second chance? More than one opportunity to prove ourselves in the sight of God. The story of the people of the city of Nineveh and the prophet Jonah shows that the test of life is a multi-part exam and reminds us to be more long-suffering with those who slip and fall. Nineveh. The people of the city of Nineveh were distant relatives of the children of Israel. Their common ancestor was the prophet Noah, who about 1,200 years before the time of Jonah, had three sons. For centuries, these people seem to have had little contact with each other. The Ninevites, also known as Assyrians, see the Bible Dictionary, Assyria, pages 615 through 616, worshiped the false god Asshur, while the children of Israel worshiped Jehovah, or Jesus Christ. About 780 B.C., the Lord spoke to the Israelitic prophet Jonah, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." Jonah chapter 1, verse 2. Although Jonah was a good man, see 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25, and a likely associate of the prophet Amos, he was not happy with this assignment and fled from the presence of the Lord. Jonah chapter 1, verse 10. Why might Jonah have reacted this way? Warfare was a science to the leaders of Assyria, and it was their effectiveness in warfare that struck terror to the hearts of the Near Eastern world. They were savage and brutal as well. So Jonah's refusal to go to Nineveh, a mortal weakness in response to fear, is somewhat understandable. 3 days to reconsider. Jonah quickly fled in the opposite direction from Nineveh, toward the seaport of Joppa, where he boarded a ship headed for what is probably present-day Spain. See Bible Dictionary, Tarshish, 780. But the Lord gave Jonah a second chance. He first sent a storm to halt the ship's progress at sea. See Jonah chapter 1, verse 4. As the ship's crew began to fear for their lives, the captain became convinced that God's wrath toward someone on board was the cause of the storm. The crew and passengers cast lots. See Bible Dictionary Lots, casting of 726. And when it became clear that Jonah was the guilty one, the crew asked Jonah, "What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us?" Jonah chapter 1, verse 11. Jonah now realized that his efforts to hide from the Lord were futile and replied, "Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." Verse 12. Resigned to a certain death, the men threw Jonah overboard. As Jonah sank into the water, the storm immediately ceased, and a great fish sent by the Lord suddenly appeared and swallowed Jonah, thus preserving his life. See verse 17. How merciful is the Lord to the children of men! For 3 days and three nights Jonah was in the belly of the fish. He humbled himself and acknowledged his sin. Jonah knew that he deserved to die, but was grateful God had shown him such extraordinary mercy. With strength and faith in God, he resolved, "I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." Jonah chapter 2, verse 9. Therefore the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Jonah chapter 2, verse 10. A second chance. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. This time Jonah was determined to put aside his fears and obey the Lord. After all, he probably thought if he fulfilled his duty in Nineveh, the Lord would destroy one of Israel's most brutal enemies. This would be a great blessing to his people. Jonah entered Nineveh, and according to the scriptures prophesied, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Jonah chapter 3, verse 4. As the 40 days came to a close, Jonah left the city and built himself a shelter from which he hoped to watch a grand show of destruction. See Jonah chapter 4, verse 5. But to Jonah's surprise and disappointment, no destruction came. The people believed and began to repent. When news of Jonah's words reached the king of Nineveh, the king and his nobles turned to the Lord. They sent out a decree commanding that a period of fasting, humility, repentance, and prayer be observed throughout the city. Oh, how they wanted an opportunity to repent! And in a plea strikingly similar to Jonah's prayer from the belly of the fish, the proclamation said, "Who can tell if we will repent and turn unto God, but he will turn away from us his fierce anger, that we perish not?" Joseph Smith translation of Jonah chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord was pleased with the Ninevites' change of heart and spared them. How merciful is the Lord to the children of men! When the anticipated calamity did not come to pass, Jonah complained to the Lord, saying that he knew the Lord was merciful and that he would never destroy those people. Jonah also claimed he had fled originally because he knew his preaching to these people would do no good. He then asked the Lord to take his life, for he felt it was not worth living anymore. See Jonah chapter 4, verses 2 through 3. How sad that Jonah could not rejoice in the success of his missionary labors. The Lord in his infinite mercy then prepared another lesson for Jonah, giving him yet another chance to see the situation from the Lord's point of view. The gourd and the worm. One morning, as Jonah sat in his shelter, frustrated and confused, the Lord caused a gourd or bean plant, whose vines have large, broad leaves, to grow up over Jonah, giving him shade from the heat of the sun. This pleased Jonah and lifted his spirits. However, at dawn the next day, the Lord sent a worm to chew upon the plant. As the sun rose in the sky, the Lord also sent a scorching east wind off the desert, which caused the plant to wither and die. Soon the hot sun burned upon Jonah's head, and he became angry again and wished to die. His distemper over the dead vine showed that again in his mortal weakness, he was more concerned about his own comfort than the possible destruction of an entire city full of people. The Lord chastised Jonah for his selfishness and asked him a question. "Should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000, 120,000 persons, that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand?" Jonah chapter 4, verse 11. God is merciful. One Bible commentator has explained Jonah chapter 4, verse 11 by paraphrasing the Lord's response to Jonah as follows. "How much is the city better than the shrub? And shall I destroy them rather than thy shade should be withered or thy word apparently fail? And besides, these persons are young and have not offended, for they know not the difference between their right hand and their left. And should not I feel more pity for those innocents than thou dost for the fine flowering plant?" Throughout the story of Jonah, we can see the very personal manner in which the Lord mercifully relates to his children. "Remember, the worth of souls is great in the sight of God." Doctrine and Covenants, section 18, verse 10. His influence in our lives also testifies of that same mercy. We must not, however, mistake his mercy for a license to endlessly repeat our sins. President James E. Faust, second counselor in the first presidency, has said, "Many of us backslide, many stumble, and I believe firmly in the gospel of the second chance. But the gospel of the second chance means that having once been found weak, thereafter we become steadfast. In our family, church, and community relationships, we should exercise patience and mercy by extending the same chance for loving forgiveness to others that the Lord gave to the prophet Jonah and to the people of Nineveh." Note, Elder Juan Uceda is an Area Authority 70 serving in the South America West area. For more on this topic, see Keith W. Perkins' Thou Art Still Chosen, Ensign, January 1993, pages 14 through 19. James M. Perry with Robert J. Woolley, Lord, Is It I? What I Learned from Martin Harris and Jonah, Ensign, July 1989, pages 32 through 33. John A. Tvetnis, Jonah, Ensign, June 1974, pages 26 through 27. End of note. End of the article, Jonah and the Second Chance, by Elder Juan Uceda, Area Authority 70.